First time, long time, live edition. Welcome to the misery that is Philadelphia sports. I'm Smitty. We got Roan here, and we got Derek in the booth. And the Philadelphia Phillies currently embarrass humanity. Not just baseball, not just sports, but humanity as a whole. They went into the Arizona Diamondbacks asshole, crawled up like a Richard Gere gerbil, and didn't come out. That's it. Eloquent as fuck. They didn't come out. And they're going to die there in Arizona in the desert. Because when they went, they were facing a team that was 38-81. Basically like the 300 winning percentage. And they get swept. They get swept. In the middle of a playoff hunt. Can't hit shit. Can't do dick. And it's depressing. And it's depressing because we had playoff baseball here for once in maybe 10 years. Some hope at the end of the summer. And now it's over. It's over. I don't care that they have 40 games left. It's over. They might not finish above 500 for the first time in 10 years again to finish above 500. It's over. Plus, we got the Eagles right around the corner coming off a 35-0 shutout on behalf of the New England Patriots, as well as six straight preseason scoreless quarters. Roan? Is Roan here? Is Roan speaking? Can anybody hear me? Because I don't know. Derek, am I live? Can you hear me? Can you hear Roan? No. Okay. Roan's coming. We got people requesting to talk. It's miserable. It's miserable. The Phillies, brainless, dickless, hopeless. And we'll get into it all. Rob? First time, long time, my friend. Rob, you there?
Can you hear me?
Oh, we got you, Robert.
Why are we fans of this city and the teams in this city? It is just the Phillies, pure torture. I mean, the Eagles, what are they going to win, Max? 6-7 games? I mean, it is just, it is about as bad as it's been in a long time.
Yeah, yesterday was probably the most depressing day in Philadelphia sports history since, I don't know, when was the game 7 of the Sixers? A month ago? I mean, it's awful. It's truly awful. And the Phillies, like, Sixers, or the Eagles are one thing. It's preseason. It's preseason. And when Roan will talk about it, there hasn't been too much that's been encouraging overly from the Eagles in this preseason, but there hasn't been anything that's really discouraging. I mean, Devontae Smith looked like kind of good last night, I guess. Got initiated into Philly with his first drop and then kind of looked explosive. It's good stuff. But other than that, they've been relatively healthy besides losing the tight end. Not Kroom, who they lost, unfortunately, last night. But namespace, I mean, the quarterback who went to tight end, who was looking good 8 to 10 weeks with a back injury.
Tyree Jackson.
I mean, other than that, they're relatively healthy. And hopefully we can expect a very mediocre season, which will just basically extend the purgatory for the Eagles for years to come. But to answer your question, I know why we're fans. Because we love the pain, and when we, for better or worse, usually worse. Roan, good day, sir.
Gentlemen, it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Let's put a pin in the doom and gloom. I want to put a pin in the doom and gloom. I don't want the doom and gloom right now. Obviously, it's the preseason. The preseason sucks. Obviously, the Phillies are on the schneid a little bit. But I don't think that things are as bad as they seem. And if we talked 2 days ago, we will be super excited about the Eagles. Am I lying?
No, you're lying. Why would we be super excited about the Eagles 2 days ago?
I feel like every single report that I read out of the joint practice between the Eagles and the Patriots had Jalen Hurts being the best quarterback on the field. Our wide receivers making electric plays. Quez Watkins and Jalen Reagor playing like they're absolute studs. The team having the entire confidence of Jalen Reagor and Jalen Reagor having the confidence of the team. Like, I'm sorry, Jalen Hurts. It seemed like everything was going in the right direction. Was there a mollywhopping? Yes, but they're playing their starters against our backups. Are we going to really get this bent out of shape about the preseason?
Hey, first preseason with a first-year NFL head coach and a quarterback who like kind of needs to be out there to continue to grow. Maybe I'm not going to really hold it against them, but I would take an excellent performance in a preseason game over what is put out there in practice on one-on-ones when Jalen Reagor's schooling undrafted picks and making one-handed catches over bums who may not be in the league come game one.
He was schooling J.C. Jackson. J.C. Jackson was just ranked in the top 50 of the NFL top 100. You could say what you want about that list, but he's at least like an established player. Me, maybe it's rose-colored glasses, but I put more stock in the practice than what was going on in the actual game.
We'll see. I mean, preseason just sucks because I really haven't seen anything too overly encouraging from the first two games, or even practice for that matter, except for like a couple highlights of Jalen Reagor. But again, I haven't really seen that much like too discouraging other than losing, you know, 35-0, but it's preseason. So it's like, who really gives a fuck? As long as they come out somewhat healthy, like that's it. But have you seen anything like from Nick Sirianni's style in the games or even in practice that really like turned you on?
I think that the thing that's where he shined the most is making our wide receivers better. Like, he's obviously a wide receiver guy, has a wide receiver pedigree, and almost, I mean, outside of Travis Fulgham, it seems like every wide receiver has been able to step up their game a little bit over, like, through the highlights we're seeing, through the reports that we're hearing. Like, I don't know what to think about Miles Sanders. I think that our offensive line is going to be doing well. Jalen Hurts obviously is going to have another dynamic during the regular season when he can run the ball a little bit and he's not just forced to throw the ball. As far as play calling, I have no idea. I really don't know. But I'm also not going to convince myself it sucks before I see it sucks. Like, I want to at least, like, spend my August feeling good about the team, and then if reality hits like a ton of bricks come September, I'll deal with that reality. But for the time being, like, let me at least feel like things are going to go in the right direction. 35-0 is tough, though. 35-0 is an ugly number.
You're a glass half full guy, and I respect that. I just don't know what they're going to do now during the last preseason game. Now, there's only three preseason games this year. Historically, they would play the starters during the third preseason game, and the fourth week would be kind of to see who makes the team or not. I don't know what's going to happen next week. Is Jalen Hurts going to play at all? Are the starters going to play at all? Kind of seems like they need to, besides, you know, the old bucks like Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox, but I'm not sure. But Jalen Hurts was dancing before the game yesterday and ended up sitting out due to a quote-unquote stomach infection that he went to the hospital for. My father, of all people, has a very unique hypothesis upon what happened last night, if you want to hear it, Ron.
What did Pop say? What did your dad say?
So my father, who, on the cause of his death certificate, will be the Philadelphia Eagles one day, said, strange situation with Hurts last night. Just the thought, they pulled him because Howie has a trade for Deshaun Watson that will send him to Houston that came together right before the game. The Eagles and Howie are good at keeping things a secret. I think as long as he's not in jail, Howie would trade for him at some point. You might as well get it over with. What do you think about that? You think something was in the works already and they just didn't want to see Jalen Hurts get hurt before they dished him off to Houston?
Your dad needs to put down the WIP. Step away from the radio. He needs to back away slowly from the radio because he's been getting too heavy a dose. Keep things a secret. This has been the least secretive secret that's ever secreted. They've talked about it every single day. There's no keeping this a secret. If it winds up happening, it will be obvious, but I don't even think it's going to happen because they've shoved it down our throats so much that I don't think it can be possible. I love your dad. He's the man, but I don't think that that's what's going on. We have to at least see what Jalen Hurts is doing, right?
I agree 1,000,000%, which is why, like, you kind of have to play him during week 3 next week, just to, you know, kind of get his dick wet a little bit.
What do you think about the reports, though, coming out from Jay Glazer and a couple other media outlets that it really seems like Jalen Hurts has the confidence of this team? People are buying into him as a leader. Do you think that that's legit?
I don't think that's ever been an issue with Jalen Hurts. It's been reported about that with him during college. The issue with him is just getting the job done when it matters. And during the national championship game at Alabama, during halftime, if he was indeed the quarterback to lead them to a national championship, he would have, instead of getting benched for Tua. Same thing at Oklahoma, where he led them very, very well, and he was up there for looks at the Heisman, but didn't get it done, didn't win the Heisman, and he ended up slipping to a projected third-round pick, and the Eagles upsold him to a second-round pick. So, I mean, he's going to have to prove it on the field. There's nothing wrong with Jalen Hurts as a person and as a leader. I mean, we see that. He says all the right things. He does all the right things. He's been making all the right moves. But can he get it done? I don't know yet. I hope so. I hope so. But he was 1-3 last year. And that was against the victory was against the Saints team, who decided not to play until the second half. There's questions with his arm strength. I hope he can do it, but you know, who is another guy who just was a rah-rah leader, but just really maybe had no time? I mean, is he Rudy out there? Like,
yeah, it's like Jim McMahon. Is he spunky? Is he a punky yeah. quarterback? Like, I honestly don't have that much worry about his arm strength. I honestly feel good. I think that our deep ball, our deep speed is going to help our offense tremendously. I think that the wide receivers we drafted last year are speed guys. Like, they're intentionally guys who are going to be able to stretch the field, and wide receivers aren't going to be awesome in their rookie year. That's like, unless you're Justin Jefferson, for the most part, it's going to take a little bit to develop for people. And I know that feels bad, but at the same time, we got to dance with the one that brought us. And like, these are the guys that we're with right now. My question is, though, at the beginning of the game last night, Devontae Smith had a little bit of a case of the dropsies. Is he getting that out of his system? Or do you think that that's something that's afflicted him now that he's descended on the greater Philadelphia area?
Yeah, can't expect much from rookie wide receivers unless, of course, you know, you're Justin Jefferson or, like, you know, A.J. Brown or D.K. Metcalf. I mean, you know, they can't really expect much. Terry McCollin. The old guys the Eagles possibly could have had. But Devontae Smith, I'm not worried about him. He looks explosive off the line. Like, he's gonna be fine. He's, like, the least of my worries right now. And Jalen Hurts, I think the consensus is he's not – going to be able to be put into, like, any system and be successful. He's going to have the system built around him. And if Sirianni is smart and does the right things, I think, obviously, that's only going to help. But if you force Jalen Hurts to do stuff that he either physically can't do or is incapable of doing right now, I mean, he's going to probably struggle. I think you do need to get him out on the run, do a lot of read option, maybe only have, you know, 2 or 3 reads. I mean, he's not going to be progressing through, like, 6 fucking guys like Tom Brady or Peyton Manning in his prime, at least not to start. Like,
yeah, I think that around him. Yeah, how quickly he can get through his progressions is key, especially because, like, the clips we saw of Devontae Smith last night, he's getting open like that. Open right away. And if you're not on him as soon as he's open, like, they'll be able to react to that, and you lose any advantage of him being an incredible route runner with perfect fundamentals. You lose that advantage that you gained unless you're on him immediately. And so, I mean, maybe he's a possession guy. Maybe he's an intermediate threat to kind of open up the stuff downfield. One thing I have been excited about, and I know you mentioned Tyree Jackson having an injury, and I think that that was, like, pretty much a contact injury. Like, he fell pretty hard on his back, broke a bone in his back. But outside of that, knock on wood, we haven't really had the conditioning injuries that we had throughout the Doug Peterson era. Doug Peterson, there would be people who would just like wind up hurt, or that like it was almost like Doug didn't really care. He was such a player's coach that he didn't really care about making sure that everyone was stretched out. He was like, oh, if you guys want to stretch, stretch. If not, like, don't worry about it. Like, there's not the bullshit ticky-tack injuries that just kind of creep up because of a lack of conditioning. And maybe it's the short practices. Maybe Sirianni's just focusing on the health a little bit more. But so far, we've been able to avoid that bug. And that's been one of the things that's plagued us most the last three seasons.
Yeah, and the last three seasons, I'm not going to give all the blame to Doug for the injuries and all the credit to Sirianni. I mean, Eagles training staff and medical team has been historically dog dick for the squad on how they handle injuries and the recovery time. So we'll see what happens throughout the season, as I believe everyone's still around from the medical staff. So we'll see. But I do agree, it is nice not being injured going into the regular season. Let's get to some calls. Go to the phones. Roni.
What's up, Smitty? How you doing, Ron? What's going on, man?
What's up, Tenderoni?
I just want to get your guys' thoughts on the embarrassment that the Philadelphia Phillies put on this weekend this week in Arizona. I don't know if either of you guys are surprised by this. I mean, the Phillies have been doing this to us since fucking 2011, 2012. But do you think the season's done, or what are your thoughts on the Phillies now? Like, where do we go from here?
Rest in peace, the 2021 Philadelphia Phillies, because even if they do turn this ship around, they're going to go right back to the dead, dickless bats that we've seen the past, 10 games since the 8-game winning streak. I knew that 8-game streak was a lot of Billy Mumphrey unbridled enthusiasm, because they played the Pirates, they played the Nationals at home, they played the Mets at home, who all three teams were basically giving up on the season as those games were going on. And yes, the Phillies were hot, the bats were rolling. They were like the number one offensively ranked team since July 1st at that time, which is like amazing, because I don't know like how that translated to somewhat of a winning record, because it didn't. But people forget that before that 8-game winning streak, they played the Pirates still, and they got one hit, and then they got one run before that 8-game winning streak. And then they play the Reds, lose 2 of 3. They play the Dodgers, lose 2 of 3. And then they go to the Diamondbacks, who had a winning percentage of like 318, 38-81, which is like impeccably, like,
dude, it's
historically
terrible.
Awful. And not only that, the worst pitching staff in the league. They were throwing out guys in relief that had 11 ERAs, and they get swept. Not only did get swept, but like how they got swept, especially yesterday with your ace on the mound. A 1-0 lead by the Diamondbacks felt like 100-0. They lead off with a double by Gene Segura, hard hit ball, and JT Realmuto, like, soft pop up. Dude, the second they can't move him over. Bryce Harper breaks up, and that was their only fucking hit until the
JT Realmuto may have had his worst series of this entire year in Arizona, and then he comes out and says like, oh, everyone has to do better, hit better. Dude, he let that, like, 3 pass balls, a run scored, had, like, 2 hits. He's popping balls up. Brad Miller stinks. I don't know what he's doing. And Alec Bohm, that guy, I don't want to lose faith in him. This is his first full year. But that guy, there's a video of him saying, I can't hit the fucking ball. If I'm a manager, if I'm Joe Girardi and I see my guy say that, you're done. You're going down to Triple A. You figure it out.
Yeah, there's something wrong with Alec Bohm, and you can see he swings constantly through fastballs like I've never seen before, especially from him, where at the beginning of the year and last year, he would rope them, like, especially 2 strikes to the opposite field, and now he can't even make contact. And Torres, God bless him, he's a great backup. He's not a third baseman full-time. He's not a corner infielder who can, like, give that offensive power. You need Bohm there, your third or first, and right now he cannot play.
He looks uncomfortable.
Brad Miller's not an everyday player. I mean, he's just exposed. He can come off the bench and play wherever. And JT Realmuto currently is not the best catcher in baseball, like everybody fucking claims. He's just not. Defensively, he's regressed incredibly this year. He's not throwing out runners like every single time like he used to in the past. And at the plate, what the fuck, JT? Not only yesterday where you're just like popping up to second base instead of at least trying to move the runner over. What the fuck are you swinging at 3-0 pitches for at the beginning of the series?
Yep.
Like, that's, just topping it off. Like, fuck you, pal. Get your shit together.
Yeah, that's all. I just want to get my fucking anger out in the Philadelphia Phillies right here. I got to get back to fucking work. Happy fucking Friday, boys. Let's get this fucking win in San Diego, and I don't know.
The silver lining is it's San Diego. I mean, but then you do see the Diamondbacks again for a four-game series next week, and it's like, if the Diamondbacks suck, you need to at least be able to split with them, and the NL East is hapless enough. It, like, I'm saying, split the series. So they had this last series. Like, we should be able to take this series from them. And the NL East is hapless enough that, I mean, we're the Mets suck. We already know that. And we're only four games behind the Braves. Like, it's not that crazy. But it's about setting realistic expectations because, obviously, the Phillies aren't winning the World Series this year. So being in contention in September, I feel like, is a realistic expectation for progress for this team that a lot of people kind of thought was going to be a 500 team going into the season. They kind of are what we thought they were. And there's stretches of beauty and stretches of desolate ugliness, and we're right in the middle of it.
It's about unrealistic expectations. I do agree that just the fact that playoff baseball was almost back this year sent wood to the sky. But I mean, the NL East, it's still hapless in comparison to the rest of the NL, or definitely the majors. Braves are 13-3 in their last 16. They're essentially going to run away with it. They're getting Ian Anderson back. They got Denard back. They're getting
Freddie Freeman's playing out of his mind.
Yeah, Freddie Freeman. So I mean, they got three guys. I mean, Fran Tatis is winning the MVP now. There's no question about that. But I mean, they have three guys that might jump Bryce Harper in the odds between Austin Riley, Freddie Freeman, and Dansby Swanson, who's playing out of his ball sack. So it's a runaway train for the Braves right now, unless the Phillies can win some ball games and stay within three or four when they go and play the Braves for only three games at the end of the season, because they already played them 25 games in the first 26 contests. Thank you very much, MLB. God damn it. Bro, just give me like some positivity about the Phillies. They lost a lot of money, and responsible money that I can afford responsibly, probably. But like, just give me something. Give me something to hope.
I'm going down to the bank next week. I'm excited about it. A little belated Father's Day gift for Pops. I'm excited to be down there. I'm not going to have completely give up on this squad. I want to see what they can do. I think that we're in striking distance, and maybe that 8-game winning streak was the worst thing that happened for the squad, because they started sniffing their own farts and liking the smell of their own jock, and they didn't have this hungry dogs run faster type of vibe. But the hunger is going to come back real fast the closer you are to 500, and maybe it's just like this 500, you know, purgatory that we're stuck in right now. It was a disgusting series against the Diamondbacks. You can't get swept by the Diamondbacks. You can't lose a series to the Dodgers, to the Reds. But, I mean, they're beating the Mets. They're beating the people in their division. They're beating the Nationals. They're beating the teams that they need to beat at the end of the day. You need to be able to beat the teams in your division, and we're going to see what happens when we eventually wind up against the Braves. Like, we have to claw away. We have to stay within striking distance. Our lineup is not that bad. They just need to be able to hit. We have good pitching at the top of our rotation. They just need to be able to lock in. The season is not over, and the fact that we're even having these conversations in mid to late August is a good thing. I thought that there was a chance that we might not even be in this situation, but baseball is a long season, and we are, as fans, we're subject to mood swings. We're having it with the Eagles, too. One day, they're fucking looking incredible. The next day, we all want to collectively jump off of the Walt Whitman Bridge. But I don't think that it's necessarily to that point with the Phillies. Let's just believe for a little bit longer. There's no reason to jump off the bridge right now. Let's at least wait until the opening game for the Eagles to completely abandon the Phillies.
Okay. You saved me a trip to the Walt Whitman there, and I appreciate
that. Or the Ben Franklin, Smith.
No loopholes there. Nope.
Or the Commodore Barry.
Yeah, or the Commodore Barry, if there's traffic, of course. That was a happy little rant, but then, like, during it, I've been reminded that only two other times the Phillies have been swept by a team that bad since 1883. And that was in the 20s against the Boston Braves and in the 60s against the Montreal Expos. And that's depressing. And also, a statistic that they said yesterday, which is like beyond fucked up, the Phillies are the worst team in the majors. The majors. The show. Fastballs. Like, how is that possible with this lineup? How can you even fathom that? There are teams out there who can't even lift the fucking bat to the plate because they're so inept. And this team just can't hit fastballs right down the cock. And you saw it time and time and time again against the Diamondbacks. They're late. They're topping it off. They're not getting good wood. Like, it's baseball 101 at the little league level to be able to crush fastballs no matter the speed. At the major league level, it's incomprehensible how they're that bad. They're the worst. They're the worst in the league of fastballs.
I feel like, and one of the little things that the Phillies don't really have is, like, they don't have great speed as a team. And I feel like speed at this time of the year is, like, when you get in those tight games, like, speed's kind of how you're able to, like, turn something that maybe shouldn't have been a run into a run. And, like, who are you – who do you trust as far as, like, a great base runner? Like, our best speed guys would be either – McCutcheon, but probably not anymore, or Bryce. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, like, it's not necessary, but those are the little things I think that take a team from being a pretty good team to an incredible team. And we're not an incredible team. It is what it is.
Yeah, speed's one thing, and they do have, like, okay speed outside of, like, Reese on the base bats, but you gotta know how to run the bases, and defensively and running the bases, like, two of the most fundamental things at the lowest level of baseball, the Phillies just don't do. They don't play defense. Really, I guess they've been doing a little better recently. Credit to Alec Boehm being benched. But they run the bases like shit. There have been so many mistakes this year where the third out is at third, or they're not taking the extra base to second when there's a play at the plate, and Odubel Herrera is just waxing his balls at first base. He's another fucking issue I have, and he's always been an issue because he's an awful fucking human. But how many fucking bat flips are we going to get to the warning track, pal? Yeah, you knock one out against the Reds or the Mets or whatever, but then you do three extra fucking bat flips and just look at it while you get caught at the warning track. Fuck you, pal. Do your job one time. Or get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I just don't hate our roster composition. It's hard for me to hate the team when at the end of the year you're going to have fucking nine guys with 10-plus home runs. Like, that's an impressively put together roster. There's going to be flaws, obviously. We know that there's going to be flaws, but, like, you can't hate on the position that we're in. Like, it's there. The pieces seem to be there.
I mean, nine guys with 10-plus home runs, that'd be amazing for, like, 1991. And in 2021, where, yeah, Bryce Harper has 22 home runs, but 20 of them are solo, who gives a fuck? That doesn't do anything in the long run. And that's not Bryce's fault, to the people out there are going to hate on him for it to the end of time. Angelo Cataldi, you piece of shit. But everybody else, like, they just don't play baseball. And, like, sometimes I just want them to, like, just play, like, small ball and get shit done. And they're inept. Oh, and we got Uncle Bump from from the Delco Softball League here. How you doing, Uncle Bump?
What's up, Smith?
What up, Bump? How's post life season going for you?
It's all right. We did shitty. We didn't make playoffs.
You gotta stand up, Uncle Bump. What do you want, a perk 30 right now, brother?
Nah, man. I don't do that no more.
No more.
But
good God.
Nah, I think they'll get it back. I just think rough patch, they'll bounce back. Maybe not this weekend, but we'll see. They'll give us some more hope.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I don't think that the hope is dead. I think that the 8-game win streak came out of nowhere. I can't believe that we're talking about the 8-game win streak like it's 5 touchdowns at Polk High, but it was the highlight of the season so far. And yeah. I we can get back to that.
Yeah, easily. And I think with the Eagles too, I think we'll know what this team is by week three, like right around there.
Oh, I think we'll know week one, because if they go down to Atlanta and some way, somehow get bum-rushed by fucking old man Penn Charter, Matt Ryan, and and it's not pretty, it's gonna be a bad season, week one. Yeah.
But what about the other? What about the other way, though, Smitty? What if they go in and kick dick and fucking Jalen Hurts throws for 4 and rushes for 2, and it's Chip Kelly all over again? What are we going to know about the team that way?
Then we'll find out exactly who the team is when the 49ers come in the next week. If they can, repeat that at least effort against the 49ers after blowing away the hapless Falcons, then we'll know a little bit what this team can do. But if they blow away the Falcons, who aren't going to be a good team by any stretch of the imagination, and they're 3.5-point underdogs going in, and host the 49ers the next week and just like roll over and die, and it's like, oh, okay. Then they are a 6-win team.
Speaking of the 49ers, though, Bump, sorry to interrupt, Bump, because I want to hear your thoughts on this. No, not at all. I think that one guy who I do not want to see on the fucking Eagles this year is Nick Mullen. Like that dude sucks. And the only reason he was good was because of Kyle Shanahan. And like if he is even on the roster, much less getting meaningful minutes. Like just tank out right now, and whoever the top quarterback is next year, we'll just take the first overall draft pick. If Nick Mullen sees one fucking snap this season, we're so far cooked that like we're just burnt to a crisp. Like that guy fucking sucks.
Yeah, he's the worst. If I see him coming for one snap, and if it's not a knee, I'm not watching the game. I can't do it.
He's exactly.
Nick Mullen's reserved for a victory formation only. Yeah. You heard it here first from Uncle Bump. Appreciate you, Bump.
Bump, calling anytime, Bump. I love the energy.
Oh, but Bump was a... Bump was reckless in the Delco Softball League as a manager of his team. Yeah, I played for them one time, and I think we won like 30-0. And Bump let them know about it, and then some. Like,
yeah,
Bump was bumping from the clouds, and I'm actually surprised Bump didn't get bumped during that game, because there were a couple things said that Bump let it fly. But hey.
Bump sounded like he needed a bump, though. He must have been saving all his energy for the for when he's on the bump, because that dude was low energy, but that's fine. Keep the energy low for when we're talking, and then turn it up when you're in the Delco Softball League.
Believe it. What's up, Jake? First time, long time.
Smith, Roan, how we doing, boys?
What up?
Bang, bang, bird gang.
You know what the fuck it is, bro. You already know, bro. It's that time of year, bro.
I'm getting hyped, but not. I'm optimistic about the birds. We're, like you said, Brown, talking about those wide receivers. Like, we're quick. When's the last time we were quick on the outside since Michael Vick? You know? Like,
the Patriots. Macklin and Jackson, maybe?
Yeah, but they weren't that good. Like, it, just simple as that.
They were pretty good when they were here.
Especially compared to dudes who have put up zero stats in the NFL. But I love the optimism, though. Bro, we're going to be better than them.
But, Smith, did I not talk to you like 2 weeks ago about hope and optimism and how terrible it is for Philly fans?
I believe it. It's the worst.
It was like 2 games into the Phillies' 8-game win streak. And I told you, Smith, I was like, we going to pretend to be a good team, or are we just going to be a 500 team? And we went on this little run, got expectations up, and now we're back to square one. And it's abysmal. I love your optimism about the Phils, but
it's barely optimism
on being a 500 team.
It's more just like enjoy 500 for what it is. Like, we're not eating a shit sandwich. It's just like a poorly cooked steak. It's not a fucking beautiful steak. It's just a fucking mediocre sandwich, and I'll treat it like that. I'm not going to treat it terrible. But Jake, while we're on the birds, though, while you brought up the birds, I want to ask you and Smitty a quick question about the squad. I saw guys like Matthew Berry, these big fantasy football guys, saying that Jalen Hurts is going to be a breakout star as far as fantasy, as far as the numbers that he's going to put up.
What does that make you feel? Does that fire you up about the squad, or does that make you feel like exactly what you're saying, that this optimism could be poison for us?
Who'd you say was going to be that fantasy star? I missed that.
Jalen Hurts.
Dude, yeah, I saw that on ESPN the other day. He's like ranked as like the 7th or 8th top quarterback or something. Is that ESPN got their shit together, or are they losing it?
Well, I mean, when Jalen Hurts was playing last year, he was one of the top daily fantasy quarterbacks, because people have to remember, fantasy points, passing yards don't equate at all to rushing yards, and passing touchdowns also do not equate to rushing touchdowns. And Jalen Hurts is going to rush, and he is going to rush for touchdowns. So him being top five fantasy QB, which I absolutely think he could be, does not necessarily equate to being an actual good QB or a winning QB.
So basically, ESPN's thinking the Eagles might be a little bit of a shit show, and Jalen Hurts is just going to run around and throw the ball down the field a ton.
And run the ball a lot. Yeah. I mean, Jalen Hurts gets 60 rushing yards a game and a touchdown. On the ground, he's a top five fantasy quarterback. I mean, that's just not debatable. Which is very realistic.
I'm feeling good about this Eagles offense. Like, our O line's top five in the league, right? If we can stay healthy, God willing. I love our running attack's decent. Tight ends are great. Speed on the outside. It's just that defense I'm worrying about. Linebacker position, like corner defensive backs, as always, like. D-line's decent, but that linebacker core and secondary worries me. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I like Eric Wilson, the dude that they got from the Vikings. I think he could be decent as a linebacker. Singleton, he's going to run around with his hair on fire. Davion Taylor, obviously a massive disappointment, not even seeing the fucking field as a linebacker. But I think TJ Edwards could be decent. I think the linebackers just have to not be embarrassing. I'm more worried about the D-backs than I am about the linebackers, just because if Steven Nelson starts getting burnt, like, where do you go? What do you do? Because it's Michael Jackett's not the answer. Fucking Graylin Arnold isn't the answer. You got to hope the rookie Zach McPherson's going to step up, but he's obviously going to have growing pains. He's going to be a rookie cornerback in the NFL. So it's like, who is going to be taking care of business if things go a little bit awry? And our safeties aren't exactly completely shored up, because Rodney McLeod hasn't played a fucking snap in the preseason.
No, but they still got Anthony Harris, and like they're going to be okay on defense. I mean, the writers, Ruben Frank specifically, was raving about the defense a couple weeks ago, which is like very surprising, actually. But with the linebackers, yes, Singleton's going to be flying around making tackles. It is a little bit depressing how this is turning back into like a linebacker league with like Devin White balling out in Tampa Bay and being an absolute playmaker. Darius
Leonard getting $100 million.
Yeah. I mean, these guys are like premier defensive, like fucking playmakers, like old school. And we don't, no offense to Singleton, who I like as a player, and I think he's a ball hawk. I mean, they don't have that linebacker to really hold them down. Like, I want my Jeremiah Trotter back if he's out there. And Parsons could have been that guy, but
dude, watching him on Hard Knocks is kind of frustrating, because he looks like an absolute dog on the field, off the field. He's got a nose for the ball. He's always poking out the ball, making turnovers, loves to play, wants to play. Like, it's going to be tough playing against that dude, but at the same time, though, it's Devontae. We got Devontae. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, we got Devontae. And maybe if one of our previous five wide receiver picks worked out, we could have had Parsons at 10 instead of having to draft another wide receiver. Maybe we could have gotten Devontae anyway.
But they wouldn't have taken Parsons anyway. Like, they wouldn't have taken a linebacker.
I don't know. The league is changing, Roan. You see that with the linebackers. I mean, Devin White is – I mean, you mentioned Leonard is awesome. Devin White's just incredible.
Fred Warner.
Warner got paid,
Bobby
too.
Wagner. There's a ton of – but these linebackers, too, they're not in the Jeremiah Trotter mold. Like, they're these guys who can cover, who can drop that. And that's kind of what it seemed like they hoped for in Davion Taylor, but
Yeah,
nah,
dude. And when I said I want my Jeremiah Trotter. Obviously, I meant, like, being able to cover stuff. You couldn't just have a LeVon Kirkland laying down the middle of the fucking field with
300 pounds at linebacker.
Yeah. Even Jordan Hicks was, like, almost that ball player. But we'll see how he ends up in Arizona. He had a pretty good year last year. Sam, what's good? First time, long time. You there, Sam?
Sam ain't here.
Okay, we'll go to Taylor. What's up, Taylor? How we doing?
We got Taylor in the spot. Taylor Ham.
Yo, what's up, boys? South Jersey kid, but living in Braves country for the past 20 years, and it's brutal. It's brutal. And I know the Mets up there and, you know, the Northeast stuff, but it's brutal down here. And I just wanted, you know, going back to the Phillies, I don't know if you guys already talked about it, but, I mean, Eflin and Hoskins, they come back in the next, three, 4 days? I mean, that's it. That's our last hope, right? I mean, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Coonrod. I mean, there's something to be hopeful for, right?
Yeah, I mean, their bullpen has shockingly been sustainable.
Over the recent
couple weeks. But you're right. I mean, there's no excuse why Rhys Hoskins, who I like a lot, should be like the reason why this lineup takes off again, or why it died completely. But he's obviously going to help. Eflin coming back will help. But between Rhys and Aaron Nola finally finding his shit, if they are able to make a comeback and spark plug this team where Bert Bryce needs to go on a tear again, and JT needs to be the best catcher in baseball, and Boehm needs to be able to contribute from the corner, at least offensively, and McCutchen needs to start hitting better than 220 and hit home runs at least again.
Yeah,
Then they might be able to turn around, but
yeah, boy, Boehm looks completely frazzled up there, does he not? I mean, do you see the lip reading thing the other day? When he struck it, he's like, "I can't fucking hit." That's what he said.
Yeah, that's not bad. Good. It's not good. He has completely regressed, and it's a shame for a first round pick that's supposed to be a corner infielder.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of our first round picks, but Taylor, I really feel for you being down in Atlanta because it's a whole
South Carolina's even worse.
So, but being by the Braves fans, because at least Mets fans have a little bit of a governor on themselves, where it's like they'll tell themselves that they suck. There's a faction of their fans who's like, "We suck." Braves fans just have this crazy optimism at all times, even undeserved optimism, where it's like they're not even living it in the real world. Like, they have this optimism where if you just didn't know what the records are, you would think that the Braves were 20 games over 500 because they believe in themselves so much. So at least the Mets kind of temper the expectations a little bit. I can't imagine what you're going through every day just living around all these Braves fans.
Bro, you're exactly right, and it's like they haven't won a playoff series since 2001. And they're going to come back and say, "Oh, we beat the Marlins in a 3-game series in a 60-game season last year." Fuck no. That doesn't fucking count. If you think that counts, I feel bad for you. They have they're so delusional. It's ridiculous. At least, when we go to the playoffs, we fucking do damage there. They don't do shit.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun watching them lose in 3 against the Brewers or 4.
Oh, exactly.
You from South Jersey, Taylor?
Voorhees, back in the day. Oh, yeah.
Voorhees? Okay, give me your Mike Trout story. You have one.
What'd you strike him out or get struck out or what happened?
He's way after my time. He's way
after. Oh, you still have to make something up. That's a South Jersey special.
I know. Shit. I freeze up in those moments. I saw Charlie Manuel in the Logan Hotel last week, and I didn't know what to say. I freaking shat my pants. So I clearly fold under pressure.
Appreciate you, Taylor. Thank you.
All right. Love y'all, boys. Bye.
Yeah, that's it's a South Jersey special right there. If you graduate high school any time from 1997 to 2015, you have a story of whether Mike Trout struck you out or you struck Mike Trout out. Right, that's usually how it goes when you run into someone from South Jersey during that time. Will, big Will, first time, long time.
Willie doesn't want to talk to us.
Willie's locked up. Oh, we'll try Sam.
Oh, there he is. There's Will. Oh. Yeah, Will.
I was just listening to Son of a Boy Dad. What's going on?
Oh, shut up, dude. Lil Sass was just in here listening. He just dipped out, so he would have loved to hear you say that.
Dude, can't believe he fought off a moose. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah, he's a tough guy for being 115 pounds.
What's going on, guys?
Not a whole lot. Just trying to pull ourselves out of the doldrums of a Phillies team on the schneid and a Birds team that just lost 35-0.
Yeah, you guys got clapped last night. I'm sorry to hear that.
What do you mean, you guys? Who are you a fan of?
Roll Tide and go skin or go football team.
Mm. That yeah, sucks. Go football team. Go Fitzpatrick. Yeah.
Exactly.
Didn't feel the magic this year.
Yeah, you got an AARP quarterback lining up right there. An incredible defensive line and the only team who's invested zero resources in their quarterback. That's an interesting strategy. Let's see how it works out for him, Smitty.
Dude. Hey, you got the Hyman coming in, don't you?
The Hyman. Snyder knows what he's doing, man. I mean, he's just playing 4D chess. And, I think we're just all peons just trying to pretend like we know what we're talking about.
If I was a Washington football team fan, I would be rooting for them to change their name to the Red Wolves. I am not, so I want them to change their name to any of the other, like, nine options they had because they all stunk. Every single option that they have of what they're going to change their name to is terrible other than the Red Wolves. I would be embarrassed if they picked anything else.
Yeah, Red Wolves is definitely the only one that I'm down with.
I mean, it's got to be better than the Cleveland Guardians. Maybe.
No, they're talking about like the president. Was the president's one of the names or something like that? Or something so fucking stupid.
Whatever. Just keep it the football team. Like, that's like kind of cool. It's like the Washington football team. Fuck it. Let it go. All right, Sam. Sorry about the delay there. Thank you, Will, for chiming in. You got about 10 more minutes of calls and stuff.
Yo, could I ask
what's up? Question?
What's up?
Sorry. Go nuts, Sam.
Mike wasn't working earlier. So I'm gonna reroute this conversation because I go to UVA but I'm from Philly, and watching that game last night with a bunch of Washington fans as well as Pats fans was downright miserable. But y'all want to talk about Ben Simmons?
Okay, we can talk about Ben Simmons. What do you got on him?
I think he's a piece of shit and he's stealing the city of Philly. I mean, I don't feel like I'm alone in that thought process, but I wanted to hear y'all's thoughts about that because, quite frankly, like after the series with Toronto 2-3 years back, I've kind of just been off the hype train, and now I'm completely derailed from the hype train. So I want to hear what y'all's thoughts are.
As is everybody, this is a pretty pro Ben Simmons podcast until about 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter in Game 7. Look, Ben Simmons is basically out of Philadelphia. He's the most toxic person to be in Philadelphia since T.O. was doing sit-ups in his driveway. In my opinion, there's just no way, shape, or form he comes back. And, Roan, you've been seeing his gram recently. He posted a nice photo today, shirtless in a Mercedes or something. Straight L.A. living. So, I mean, what it is with Ben Simmons at this point.
Yeah, I think, I mean, at one aspect, I understand what Ben Simmons is going through as far as why he's so frustrated, because he's very clearly a guy who not only wants to be in the NBA, but he wants to have all the trappings of being an NBA superstar. So that's the Mercedes, that's the famous girlfriend, that's the pictures on the gram. He wants to go on social media and get nothing but validation. But you can't go on social media if you're Ben Simmons right now without every single person saying, why did you take that layup?
I thought you were supposed to be bragging about all your accolades on social media, and dude has nothing to brag about at this point. I mean, outside of his playing, I feel like he's also just a divisive person, and everyone on in the Sixers org is just kind of too scared to make a move. The only thing actually like said about him was by Embiid after Game 7, when he said the whole game flipped around because of Ben Simmons just being a coward and not taking that shot.
Yeah, it was an obvious shot from Embiid. I don't think Simmons is like that decisive or like a bad person or didn't want to try. I mean, he's the number one all intents and purposes defensive player in the league. He hustles. He, for the most part, says all the right things during the season. He does put work in, but he's done. He's got to go. My biggest thing with him right now is him or his camp, which I would almost put just as much blame on the people around him than Ben Simmons. Somebody is floating out stuff saying that if Ben Simmons went to Golden State or the Lakers or somewhere in California, he'd be okay with that. Motherfucker, if we send you to Siberia, you better be happy if we get some sort of value for you. Spend some time in the goddamn gulag, man. If we can trade you for anything, you are going there. Have fucking fun in Portland, Indiana, Charlotte. I don't care. You have no right to say, oh, yeah, I'd like to go to Golden State or the Lakers. Fuck you.
And I think that's the only reason that we're not hearing anything from the Sixers organization. I think that once he's gone, there will be a deluge of stories about him. But for the time being, you can't be that, like, critical of him because we're still trying to sell him. We're still trying to package him up, put a bow on him, and make him look attractive to other teams. And I appreciate that they're not trying to just give him away for whatever. I don't think that he's that toxic. I think that there's, like, toxicity to him, but I don't think that he's, like, outwardly toxic. I think that he's inwardly toxic in that he just doesn't fit, and that we maybe have put too much of an expectation on him, thinking that he's going to be a 20, like 10 and 8 guy, when really he might just be like Rajon Rondo with the defensive prowess of Draymond Green. And if that's what he is, then that's what he is. But at the same time, we maybe need to change our expectations of him, and same with any other team. But we're still probably trying to sell him as the 20, 10 and 8 guy. But, I mean, whoever gets him isn't going to receive that.
Yeah, and a lot of the blame needs to go on the Sixers as well for the lack of development and oversight they had on Ben Simmons and trying to get him to grow. I mean, it got to a certain point where even, you know, 75% or in the playoffs, Doc Rivers is defending the man for not shooting left and right. I mean, how many off seasons can we go through with Brett Brown just letting him do whatever the fuck he wants? And Colangelo just, you know, just dismissing the fact that he might, you know, get better by himself. It's the Sixers' fault, too. It's not just Ben Simmons, which is a shit. Goddamn shit.
Are you saying that having his brother be his shooting coach every offseason wasn't a smart move?
Apparently not. I said this before. If I were running the Sixers, if I was in Josh Harris's or Michael Rubin's position, I would hire Herb McGee and chain Ben Simmons up to, like, the nearest basketball hoop until he developed every single perfect shooting technique possible. I believe Herb McGee would do that as well. Maybe not the chain, but Herb would get shit done.
Shout out to Herb McGee. Where's he at? East Falls these days still? Philadelphia Textile?
Philadelphia University. I think the all-time D2 head coach.
Love that. What a legend.
Yeah, I went to Herb McGee's basketball camp when I was in third grade, maybe. And, you know, he bragged about he went to the foul line, and he maybe was just shooting the shit with everybody, talking about how he fixed Charles Barkley's shot, was working with all these guys for like 15 minutes, just constantly shooting free throws, didn't miss one. Not one. And he had been like 50-something at that point. Didn't miss one free throw. Not only that, he was chucking him. He's just like, oh, swish. Up back rim, up front rim, swish, up off the back rim. Like, it was technical. I've never seen anything like it. So if Herb McGee, he's got to be, what, 75, 80 years old now. Herb McGee would like to come down and coach my three-month-old to be a shooter. By all means, we will take out whatever loans we need to take out to have that happen. Caleb? How we doing, Caleb?
Yo, guys, what's up?
Nothing much, brother. What's going on?
I just wanted to talk about the Phillies for a little bit because they have been getting on me.
Okay.
So, like, this summer, I'm a Temple student. This summer, I worked with the AAA team down in Lehigh Valley. And
go Iron Pigs.
Yeah, I just think there are so many guys down there that can make an impact up with that team that the organization is just not doing anything about it.
Do you, though? Do you?
Like, give us some names. Who you got?
So to fix the Bohm situation at third base, we have a guy with major league time with the name Ruben Tejada.
Is that a long-term fix? Is he better than
Robert? It's not a long-term. No. It's absolutely not a long-term thing, but it's something better than watching him cry at third base in practice because he can't field a routine ground ball properly. Well,
but that's where Tereas comes in. Tereas is a fine. I mean, I take Tereas over Tejada right now. Do you disagree?
No, you're right.
Okay. Is there anybody else that we're overlooking?
I just think there's a lot of guys down there with major league time that can make an impact. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe I'm just riding for my boys there.
Ride for your boys. I don't hate it. Maybe the answers are all in the minor leagues. Maybe we should do a full swap of the rosters. Let the TLA boys come up.
I mean, I don't mind, like, Luke Williams or I mean, Nick Maton just completely fell off the face of the earth after becoming, like, a boy wonder. Like, I don't mind those guys. Moniak, I still think, needs time to grow, even though he's never going to exceed his expectations as a number one overall pick. I mean, is Bryson Stott at AAA, or is he still
in AA? No, he's in AA. He's got, like, 10 bangs, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, there's a couple guys here and there, but, I mean, they're... No offense to the Iron Pigs, who I historically love. I mean, there's a reason why the Phillies have a bottom five ranked farm system in the world right now.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get different ideas out there, man.
Oh, I love
it. It's horrid to watch after the Diamondback series. They need something to change.
You're not wrong, my friend. You're not wrong. I mean, was he just the head scout of the Iron Pigs? Or the Phillies head scout?
I think the Phillies are sending their own people to come and talk to us now, and I don't mind that. That's good PR. It's like, yeah, what about these? What about Hans Kraus? Yeah. Francisco Morales.
Name one guy who can come and step up. Ruben Tejada. Okay, like Tereas is better. Okay, who is another guy? You know, they got a lot of guys. Name fucking one guy who can come up and help right now.
Rafael Marchand, the catcher at AAA.
Yeah, well, I mean, he should have been traded for, like, a bat anyway. He's going to waste behind JT Realmuto now. Joey.
Gentlemen, what's going on? Good. How we doing?
First time, long time, my friend. What's on your mind?
not much, man. I know the city's reeling after a shellacking from the Patriots and a shitty series against the Arizona Diamondbacks, but come to breathe some positivity, hopefully, into a series this weekend against the San Diego Padres, who are just reeling right now. I don't think anybody's talking about that. You know, looking back, they lost 3 of 4 to the Diamondbacks as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming off a sweep. I'm sorry, getting swept against the Colorado Rockies. I mean, they've won one of their last, I don't know, however many, 10 games. You know, we're not in the best position right now, but you know, come on, let's breathe some positivity. You know, maybe take one or two against the Padres and see what we can do the rest of the season.
Yeah, the Phillies did take 2 of 3 at home against the Padres, I believe, before the All-Star break, before going to Boston and taking 2 of 3 to Boston. That was like kind of the turnaround for them. Yes, the Padres lost 3 of 4 to the Diamondbacks. Not good. But the Rockies are like really, really good at home.
Yeah,
away they're like the worst team in Major League Baseball history, but at home, yeah. I think they're like 20 games above 500 at home or something like really outrageous. So, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't put that much credence into that. And the best way for the Padres to turn things around for them is probably sweeping the fucking Phillies. Yeah,
hey, yeah, no, I'm just trying to breathe some positivity. I'm kind of with Roan where I'm just enjoying some 500 baseball, maybe squeak into the playoffs. You know, go on a little run here. But, no, appreciate the time, boys. Love the podcast. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Yeah, we're not done out here. We're not done with the Birds. We're not done with the Phils. I mean, things don't look perfect right now. But we've seen them look a lot worse. And it doesn't serve us to act like they're as bad as they've ever been when they're not. I mean, they're mediocre. And we could act like they're mediocre without it being like, oh, they're the fucking worst team. Things are fucking terrible right now. Things aren't fucking terrible. They're not great.
I mean, they're pretty bad. But I mean, it's just having the expectations of it being great, and then it just ends up being not only just a cock tease, but a complete blue ball situation. It sucks. It just sucks. Patty John, my friend, first time, long time. What's good?
I walked into therapy this morning. My boss asked me why I look depressed, or my therapist. I'm like, I fucking watch the Phillies every night. How am I not supposed to be depressed? And
what was the Adam Sandler movie where he's in Anger Management, right? He's in Anger Management, and there's the Phillies fan in there who's or the Eagles fan in there who's just going absolutely nuts the whole time. That's probably Patty John.
Yeah, it is, and I'm in Atlanta, so my therapist is a diehard Braves fan, which makes it so much worse.
You got a twisted relationship because you were just calling your therapist your boss. You have to you need a whole other therapist to deal with whatever that is.
It's a mess. It's at work. Everyone's a Braves fan. It's like, hey, how about the Phillies? And I'm just like, fuck you guys.
It's not good.
It's not good. Like, the one guy said him being in South Carolina is worse.
Nope. Nope.
Yeah.
I mean, at least the Braves are going to get what's coming to them, which they've gotten every single postseason since 1995, a fucking exit. And because they ain't beating the Brewers. They ain't beating the Dodgers.
Yeah. Sorry, bro. No, it's all good. Patty, my question is, we got Eagles-Falcons on that first game. Are you going to be in the building if you're down there? Mercedes-Benz Stadium, maybe running to Kanye West?
I believe so. I was just up in Philly, went to see them play the Dodgers, where they had to get five outs in the ninth, and the Eagles game that night. And then the Phillies started losing when I left. Did I jinx them? Probably.
Probably.
Not 100% sure, but that's probably why. Phillies are undefeated in games I've been to the last 12 years at home. No big deal.
We got to get you together with Mark and Philly's girlfriend, who's like 101 in all games that she attends. Besides game 7 of the Sixers, of course, because why just like get to the altar and then take a dump?
Yeah, I mean, but it's only like 7-0. It's not as large a sample size. Just I'm done being optimistic about the Phillies. It's like Michael Scott when Jan told him the office was going to be shut down. We're screwed.
We are screwed, Patty. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Thank you very much for the support. We got one more call, then we got to wrap it up. Mick? Mick Lovett, closing out the show, my friend.
Yo, in South Jersey here. How we doing?
What up, Mick?
First time, long time, Mick.
Long time Philly fan. I can't believe the Phillies just absolutely crumbled when we needed them most. But I do think that September they're going to figure out something, go on a little run. For the Eagles fans out there, the 35-0 means nothing. We got youth all over the place. I love our linebackers, even though everyone thinks they stink. But, you know, I think that the biggest thing is everyone has no clue what Jalen Hurts is going to do eventually. And everything I see online is basically like, this dude's like the perfect leader. Everyone's talking about the wide receivers getting random questions at luncheons and stuff. Like, what else would you ask of a guy? The only thing he's ever thinking about is the next game, you know?
Hey, and I 100% agree with you, but
it all changes if he's losing games, though. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, it doesn't matter how good of a leader you are. You know what I mean? If you're getting men killed out in battle, being the perfect general doesn't help anything if you're rah-rah and positive. So he has to make that translate to something on the field. But at the same time, I would prefer that than the alternative. And nobody was saying that about Carson Wentz. And people in Indianapolis are already saying that they want Carson Wentz out of there. They're hoping for Jacob Eason to beat him out. And they're already asking for a trade of him because he refuses to get a vaccine. Like, there's little things that Jalen Hurts is doing better that I applaud and that I'm grateful that he's our quarterback now. But, I mean, our guy was right. We need to see it all on the field. Mick was right.
You put Jalen Hurts' mind and Carson Wentz' body, you got a Hall of Fame quarterback right there. No doubt about it. But, again, there's a reason why he was benched at halftime at Alabama. I hate to keep bringing that up, but, like, you got to be about it one of these days. And he's got a season to be about it. So, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
All right, Roan, Derek, people, we appreciate you. Next week, hopefully we'll have our big announcement, which should have came like a month ago, but we're still waiting on it. So hopefully it comes next week. And thank you all for being in this shitstorm with us. We'll hang up and listen.